89.3 The Current, live in the studio, Tommy Stinson and band, and a rocka, Not This Time, the B-side to a new 7-inch that Tommy Stinson has just released. And hey, welcome home. Show at the Turf Club tonight, huh?
Thank you. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It should be. We sold about 20 tickets or something like that. I don't know.
I bet you'll get more than 20 out there to the Turf Club tonight.
I'm funning you.
It's going to be great. So you got this band. How did this come together? What's the deal here?
This was kind of one of those things. Like I do this thing where I just kind of collect songs over the course of time, doing whatever other stuff I do. And when I get enough songs together, then I think, oh, okay, now what am I going to do? I sit down and record these things or whatever. And it just so happened in February that Luther Dickinson was in Manhattan, Cat Popper was in Manhattan, and Frank Ferrer was in Manhattan all at once. And anyway, we started some stuff years ago, him and Cody and I, and always meant to finish it, get together, do some stuff. And mm-hmm. So it just happened that they were all in Manhattan. I'm like, you guys should come up here. I got some songs recorded. You want to come up and hang out and do some stuff? And I got a studio in my house. So it worked out really good. The vibe of these guys are all friends of mine. And I think we probably spent more time hanging out, laughing and, you know, just telling goofy stories and having fun than actually playing. But when we did play it, that all kind of translated, you know, in some of the songs, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, every time I get a batch of songs together, I try to think, like, well, how am I going to do it this time? Like, I'm kind of tired of playing by myself and putting stuff together. Like the One Man Mutiny record, I had different people and different scenarios, and I had, you know, Chip Roberts, my guitar player friend. I wanted to do more of a band thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to sit there and tinker with overdubs and all that stuff. I just wanted, like, here's how the song goes. Let's play it and see what happens. And it worked out really good. Most of the stuff that we laid down in February, we came back one other time, and then Frank came up a few times, and him and I started some stuff. But most of the stuff that we did that first run, all it was really fun and spirited. And that, you know, that's what I was looking to do. And mm-hmm. and I think that now we got Steve Salvage in the mix here from the Hold Steady, him and Luther kind of grew up together, they can kind of wear the same hat or different hats, really.
Like Memphis guys, right?
Yeah. And they grew up together. And they're great. They're great to have around because they're both super fun and funny. And I can't take it all so seriously because, you know, I've been doing this so long. It's got to be fun for me. It's got to have a payoff in that I like to hear it. Because really, the only thing I get out of doing this stuff anymore creatively is when you get to hear back and you go, wow, that sounds really good. I'm glad we got to do that. Because after that, it's like you're trying to sell it. It's commerce. It's whatever. You're trying to figure that out. And that part usually bums me out. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So the recording was fun. And it started in February, and sounds like it was just a vibe, kind of like the vibe we've got going here today in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll probably have them come back out and do some more stuff because I'm still kind of writing. Uh-huh. And yeah.
So you recorded and then you sort of brought that combo on the road for, you're just doing a handful of dates
now? Just a handful of dates. You know, it worked out that everyone was free and available. And the funny thing is I booked these a while ago. Saying, sure, I'll do Riot Fest. And they asked me to do it. And I've done enough of my own solo stuff where I could figure something out, whatever it's going to be. But it
you
all
got
turned
friends.
Out. What's that?
You got friends, right?
I got
you,
friends.
You could always put
I
something
friends.
Together. Yeah.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I took the gigs and thought I'd figure it out in the end. And it turns out all these guys are available. And so we're having a ball.
Yeah.
Got a little bus out back. We're going to load them up.
Head over to the Turf Club. It's Tommy Stinson here back in town. And so, yeah, let's intro the band. So you got Steve?
I got Frank Ferrer playing drums.
And Frank played with you in
Guns N' Roses. Yes. Yep. He's a slamming
and he was
drummer.
In Psychedelic Furs, too, for
was,
a while.
He was in Love Spit Love and
Spit Love.
The Psych Furs.
So Richard Fortus and those
yes,
guys.
Yes, exactly. He was on that. He was in all of that. And yep. Tony Corraldo is a piano player friend of mine from Hudson. Him and I just are really good buds. And it's just like, I felt like, well, hell, you sing good and you play piano. You got to come play. And he's played on a bunch of stuff. So now I got a piano player I would never thought I had. And now we got Steve Selvage and Luther alternating. But we'll figure that out as we go. And then Cat Popper, who I met a few years back at the Bridge School benefit in San Francisco when I played there with like Neil Young and some other folks. And I just instantly were like, I love your music. You're a great bass player. And like, had this exchange. And it's like, we hooked up again recently and good pals.
And there you go.
I went and visited her on her houseboat.
Nice.
Look out.
And so, you said you guys were in Manhattan, and you're now upstate a little bit.
Yeah,
that's where you're sort of
upstate
calling
New York.
Home now.
Yeah, next to a town called Coosacky, a little town called Hudson. It's around the river.
Sweet.
It's great. It's, for all intents and purposes, like a blue-collar kind of, you know, it's an old gay art community, really. Mm-hmm. A lot of, people my age demographic, same-sex couples with kids and things like that, and very forward-thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Which I need to be in because I grew up in sort of the melting pot thing here in Minneapolis, and I can't move to the burbs and mm-hmm. just do that thing that you do when you move to the burbs. I got to be kind of in it a little, you know.
Yeah.
So we got all kinds of crazy where I'm at.
So right now, the only thing that's out really is this 7-inch. LMAO.
That started off as a joke that we might have taken too far, but you know what? There's a 7-inch with red vinyl, white vinyl, and me laughing my butt off.
Is there an obvious like Heartbreakers, Johnny Thunders? Their album was called LAMF.
That
sort
was
of
sort
similar,
of the funny
homage.
Steal. That was the funny homage to that in a LMAO kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the other stuff, we're going to hear some more songs, some new songs, and the hope is something later. There'll be another something down the road.
I'm making a plan to do I'm going to sit down and like map out sort of like what am I going to do for the next year and start figuring it out and putting out music. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what way I want to go with it. I know that I got some really good people to work with right now. They're all on board to kind of help make that plan a reality and see what happens. I mm-hmm. mean, I don't, you know, as long as I'm having fun with it and you know, I can pay the gas, I'm good.
It's Tommy Stinson here in the studios of The Current. Show tonight at the Turf Club, and you mentioned making it fun and also about the other stuff that you sometimes get involved in. We'll talk a little bit about some of those things.
Yes.
Let's do another song, though. That was the B-side, Not This Time, and now we'll flip the record over in a live setting, and you'll give us the A-side.
What we should have done was made them both A-sides.
Tell us about this song you're going to play, Breathing Room.
You know, it's sort of self-explanatory. It's just, you know, one of those, I said it last night and I don't want to say it on the air right now, but it's just one of those, you know, love gone bad kind of things. And, you know, it's got Luther on it. It's got Uncle Chip Roberts via Marriage on it. He came up with the melody at the top of it that he played it one time and it was almost there, and then I had to play it because I heard this certain thing. But it's a nice little melody. I like it.
All right.
You might like it. You might not. Who cares? But, yeah.
Here it is, live at 89.3 The Current. It's 89.3 The Current. That is a song called Breathing Room. We've been playing that on The Current for the last couple of weeks, and that's part of the new 7-inch single, LMAO. You have you've titled your 7-inch. It's like that's pretty unheard of. That's pretty adventurous, I think. It's Tommy Stinson here, and you know, most people call it just the one of the songs, but you've got actually like a title for it.
We're, yeah, you know, we took a joke maybe a little too far, but I'm actually trying to figure out, and I'm going to probably make this a contest to figure out, name the band, because it's going to be a band thing. I don't think I want to be Tommy Stinson and the, you know, Flaming Pigeons or anything like that kind of thing. I think I'd like to...
Flaming Pigeons is a pretty good start.
I think I might turn into a band just because I'm a little too self-conscious for that.
So, Tommy, most people, I think, if they're listening to The Current, probably know something about your past. You've played in a few bands, and it was, I was just thinking about this today. It was almost exactly a year ago to the day that the Replacement show happened at Midway Stadium. That show was kind of amazing. How was it for you to be here back home in Minneapolis where the band got their start and playing that gig?
It started off kind of weird, I'll be honest with you. We the sound check stuff, you know, we had some things happen that were interesting and like, wow, we're like playing this place. And you look out and we're playing a little baseball stadium. I'm like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But no, it was emotional. I mean, all these, I'll be honest with you, man, all the shows that we played had an element of, you know, being emotional roller coasters that, you know, they just, it's just what it is. I mean, I hadn't played these songs in so long, and we had a lot of fun with it. I mean, I had a ball with it. I don't know if you asked Paul what his thoughts on it would be, but I definitely had fun with it. And had some moments afterwards that weren't so great where I'm like, Jesus, I feel like I'm going to either jump out a window or just start crying. I mean, it was just bizarre. But yeah. And the reason why they came about, you know, was really, you know, from the gut, you know, it was Paul and I just going, should we do this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like plans are kind of aligning. It's maybe do this thing, sure. And then 3 years later, we're still doing it. It was, you know, probably lasted a little longer than we thought. But that said, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, is there a thing where, did you feel like there was an expiration date from the start or that this might end up?
No, that's why we weren't able to really think too far ahead with it. I mean, we tried a few different things like, you know, projecting a little bit. Let's maybe do this, maybe that.
Yeah.
And it just got to be like, we should just see how long this is, you know, we're having fun with it. Because I think the real cutoff was really going to be when we stopped having fun with it. I mean.
Or when Paul ran out of t-shirts.
You said it, not me.
For those that don't know, the last, 20 dates or so? Or 30? I can't remember what the phrase was now, but he wore a t-shirt with a different letter on it each night, and it spelled a message.
Had to...
To selling...
I can't selling out my past without using the word W-H-O-R-E, I suppose. I'll be honest with you, that kind of bummed me out when I figured out what that was. I'm like, man, I'm not hearing those little violins, you know?
Yeah.
We had fun. We got paid.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you made a lot of people happy.
It's taken me a while to get around that. Like, I couldn't, is he gearing that, is he pointing that at me? I don't know. I don't know what the heck's up with that. But that said.
So I guess there's nothing else going to happen soon, huh? Probably not.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I never say never. I'm also... The whole thing, I think, is probably, you know, he's played this stuff, you know, in his solo
band. Sure, on and off.
Basically the same people we played with when we were doing those shows.
Josh.
It's a solo band, you know.
Josh Freese on drums and Dave from the Neighborhoods on guitar and stuff.
Yeah, I guess Darren played bass and stuff. But it's a whole lot more into that. You know, my brother's gone. There's baggage with it that, you know, was a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna try and pull the wool over your eyes. It was emotionally a lot.
I mean, was it easy to go back there or was it really hard to go back there? I mean, I think about that sometimes, the fact that you were in high school, essentially. You were, you know, a kid, and we've all done a lot of things when we were teenagers, some of which we probably love or laugh at and some we regret, but what you were doing has ended up becoming iconic records, you know, iconic shows of rock history. And do you feel a pressure when you go back there, or was it easy to go back there and go, we're just having fun?
I don't. You know, the whole funny thing for me is, like, I've always had sort of, I've always had great respect for the legacy we kind of that we've left people with, you know, and I find myself, as the older I get, telling more stories about my brother's guitar playing and some of the crazy, not his antics, but, like, you know, he was a shredder, and it was, and there's a great side to that story that's just, you know, the older I get, the more I miss him and stuff, I think about more. So it's not so hard for me in that regard to, like, go back. What it does to me emotionally after the fact is more more of a thing. It's, you know, it's fun. I mean, it's fun to play those songs. You know, it's like I can remember them like I played them yesterday for the most part, except for Swingin' Party. Sorry, Paul. I couldn't quite wrap my head around that one ever.
Yeah.
I mean, this, you know, little run, but you know.
Did it get harder for you and Paul after your brother was out of the band?
Not, you know, there was some moments that were weird and hard, but I think we just knew we had to just, you know, forge ahead. The three of us still wanted to play together.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of go, well, that's what that is, and we're just going to do this and see what happens, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think most people were pretty happy that the reunion did come together ultimately, and I avoid reunions. I don't. Do you ever go see reunion shows?
No.
No.
I'm lying. I actually saw Jesus and Mary Chain when they reunited and broke up immediately at the House of Blues in L.A. Because my friend, I got us on the show, my friend Dave Phillips, a huge fan. That was pretty awesome. They walked out on stage, played half a song, got in an argument, and that was the end of the show. Great.
Well, I think it's tough. I mean, you guys, though, seem to walk the fine line because the band had such a reputation in the original, you know, setting of being, you never knew what you'd get, you never knew if it was going to be tight or kind of unpolished, and you managed to kind of walk the line pretty well, to me at least, where that show, I only saw the Midway show, but some of the songs were super tight, but there was still this sense of anything can happen. You brought Tony Glover, came up and played with you, and you broke into some covers that seemed pretty spontaneous, and it had some of the elements that I think the fans always loved.
That's the thing that Paul and I got that we've always had with, you know, even with Chris and Bob. I mean, back in the early days, you know, that notorious single, the cassette thing.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, it's just one of those things that's part of our makeup. And if that's part of your makeup, you can always go back to that. It's a little hard to do with people who weren't there, like Josh and Dave. They rolled well with a lot of the punches on that, but we're always going to be able to do that,
if you choose. Well, I know there'll be a lot of people that would hope that you would choose, and there were a lot of people here that were hoping there'd be more than just the one show, because that thing sold out and people had a great time.
I think Paul's out of white shirts spray paint.
I think that's the problem. Somebody needs to send him a box of Hanes, maybe. It's Tommy Stinson here in the studio at The Current. A show tonight at the Turf Club, a new 7-inch single, a great band in tow. These guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming into the studio today now. You're going to play a new song. This is something that probably, unless somebody's seen you recently, no one's probably heard this song, right? Unless you've been to an open mic night in Hudson, New York.
This is the true story. I'm glad you reminded me to do talk about this. A bunch of these songs that are new songs that are in my repertoire that are going to be in, like, a new record or whatever I put out, I had to sort of resort to sort of guerrilla tactics to write them. I was finding myself really bogged down time-wise, and I've got a 7-year-old in school and all this stuff going on. I was having a hard time finding time to, like, just sit down with the guitar and write a song. So I have an open mic night at Club Helsinki in Hudson, and I would make myself write one song a week for, like, 2 months. Like, I'm going to write something, whatever. I'm going to write something, I'm going to go play it open mic night, and that's going to be a thing. I'm going to make myself do it. It was sort of a test, and there's songwriters that go, one song a week, God, I you know wrote 30 of them this week, you know. But,
but
I,
were
I
any
was
of
having...
them good? That's the question you ask back, right?
ask Ray Davies about that one. Yeah. But you know, I made myself do it out of necessity, and to because I was getting a little far away from me and my stuff and my songs and things like that. So I made myself do it, and it. It got to be kind of fun.
So
and
this,
then
this
I had
is
to
while
stop.
You're, this is sort of while you're in the middle of the replacement stuff and off
this,
dates
I
and
started,
stuff.
Boy, it started or, like 2 years ago.
So did, wait, so you walk into just a random open mic night. So
with
you're
a
there
new song, I just like, hey,
with
can
a new
I take
song,
the mic?
And you're there, and there's like the sort of mortals that are writing the first songs of their lives, and Tommy Stinson walks in to play a song. Did people know it was you? And did people start showing up like, hey, Tommy Stinson might come out?
No, because I fly under the radar in Hudson.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everyone and friends with everyone, but it was like, I wasn't like making it a big deal. It was more like, I'm going to make myself do this. I'm going to get a babysitter on Tuesday night. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to play this one song that I just wrote, whether it's good or bad or whatever, I'm going to make myself do it. And it was a good exercise
totally.
For me, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't really care about if there's anyone there or not.
Yeah. And so this is one of them, Bad News.
Bad News is one of them.
All right, let's hear it. It's live in the studio, Tommy Stinson, and a new song, not out yet, out at some point down the road, but let's hear a live version.
On currentrecords.com.
Woo!
Woo!
It could happen.
Before you get another paper cut, time to throw.
It's 89.3 The Current. That is a brand new song from Tommy Stinson here live in the studios. Bad News on The Current. And Tommy in town tonight playing a show at the Turf Club. Thank you for coming by, man.
Thanks for having us. We had fun. It took me a minute to wake up. It's 11 a.m. call. We just drove from Milwaukee.
Yeah, how late were you out last night?
I think the bus call was 3 a.m. drive time, and we got here, you know, however long after that. I woke up and I was at a Days Inn.
That's what people don't always realize, that a lot of that, it seems so fun and glamorous, but a lot of it means, you know, disruptive sleep schedules, and where 11 a.m. or noon feels like 6 a.m.
Yeah, rock and roll been very, very good to me.
Yeah.
But it is work.
It is work, definitely.
It is, you know, but it's like you're dedicated to it. You're down with the work. You get used to it.
Yeah. I want to say thanks to the folks working here today. Michael DeMarc, our engineer, and producer Lindsay Kimball. Also to your crew, Rhiannon and Benny and Caroline, who
yes.
are helping out today. So, you know, we talked about the mats. I'm loath to go there, but I have to go there. What's up with GNR? You've been in Guns N' Roses for what? 17 years,
and you know, the backstory of that I don't really want to talk about on air, because it was what happened with it. It has nothing to do with Axl or any of that stuff. It had to do with more with my personal situation, and basically, I played my last gig in Las Vegas with them, and had to come home and tend to that the best I could while replacement things were kind of being offered up, and. My guess is that at some point someone's going to call me and tell me what's up with that, because we've left on friendly terms. It's not like a bad thing, but I know the guitar player, DJ Ash, but I think he officially quit to do something, but you know, I had to walk away and take care of my stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
taking care of my stuff.
So back
whatever
in the day,
my stuff is.
What is that like? How do you get hired by Guns N' Roses? Does Axl give you a call, or does somebody call and say?
Josh Fries was the one that got me into that. I actually auditioned kind of on a lark, because we were at a rehearsal hall together hanging out, and him and I did a session for a girl named Joan Jones. He was, you know, kind of egging me on. Come on out, man. You should come check it out. Like the Duff quit or didn't want to come back, whatever. And I did it. I did it, and they said, "We're in." And then I talked to Axl about it. Like, what is this? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And it was kind of the whole premise was pretty punk rock. And I thought, I'm in. And 17 years later, boom.
Who knew?
Yeah.
17
But it was a
years.
Very good gig for me. I have nothing bad to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's speculation going on in the press the last few days that he and Slash may be trying to mend fences, but.
I'll be perfectly honest with you, man. I hope they do, because, you know, when you go back to where you started from and just check that out and feel that for a moment after you've gone on and doing all these other things, you know.
Yeah.
It's there's a reward that comes with that, and I had that with the Matt stuff. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do once in a while.
Yeah.
I hope it works out for him.
Yeah.
If that actually happens.
Totally. It's Tommy Stinson here in town tonight, Turf Club. Also, we're making new music, and that's awesome that you seem to sort of like rolled right out of the mats into now the solo stuff, and it's great to have you by again.
Doing my best to keep busy. I can't sit around too long. I get bored really easy and quick.
All right. Well, let's you talked about keeping it fun, and what if you guys throw down something? Let's do something just for fun. Let's play a song for fun. What do you say?
Well, geez. I always joke around with playing "That's All Right, Mama." and
Elvis has not left the building.
Well, he ain't been reincarnated in me either. But when you got Steve Selvidge up there on the guitar, who we have nicknamed Sleeve, and he's going to go down forever as Sleeve, I'm sure, after this point. But he's a ripper. It's kind of fun.
So. All right. Let's give it a shot. Let's see how this goes. It's Tommy Stinson here at The Current. Have a great time tonight. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Well, that's all right, mama. That's all right for you. mama done told me to.